What if you could acquire the essential knowledge of a top MBA program without spending 2 years and accumulating $80,000 in debt? This is precisely what Steven Silbiger delivers in The 10-Day MBA. After graduating from the prestigious Darden School of Business at the University of Virginia, Silbiger realized that while business school provided valuable networking and credentials, the core knowledge could be distilled into digestible components for anyone willing to learn. His book has become something of a phenomenon, selling over 200,000 copies worldwide and earning praise from both MBA graduates who use it as a refresher and professionals who couldn't attend business school but needed the knowledge. Even Warren Buffett has reportedly recommended the book, noting that formal business education often overcomplicates what can be explained clearly and concisely. Marketing integrates all business functions and speaks directly to customers. It's a special blend of art and science. While formal education provides frameworks and vocabulary, no amount of schooling can replace experience, intuition, and creativity. That's why gifted marketers command high salaries in the corporate world. The marketing process follows a circular 7-step framework that ensures internal consistency. Consumer analysis, market analysis, competitive analysis, distribution channel review, marketing mix development, economic evaluation, and revision. While the order isn't fixed, this structured approach provides a comprehensive methodology for tackling marketing challenges. Consumer analysis begins by understanding needs and identifying market segments. The buying process follows 5 steps. Awareness, recognizing a need. Information search, gathering product details. Evaluating alternatives, comparing options. Purchase decision, making the sale. And post-purchase evaluation. Segmentation divides markets into homogeneous consumer groups with similar needs, using geographic, demographic, psychographic, and behavioral variables. Market analysis examines broader factors like market size, trends, and competitive environments. Defining the relevant market requires precision. Not the total product category sales, but the specific slice matching your offering. The product lifecycle PLC describes how sales grow as new segments adopt a product, with 4 stages requiring different marketing approaches. Introduction, what is it? Growth, where can I get it? Maturity, why this one? And decline, how much? After analyzing consumers, markets, competition, and distribution channels, marketing managers develop the marketing mix, the 4 Ps, product, place, promotion, and price. For product decisions, marketers determine how new offerings fit with existing lines and how to differentiate them. Place decisions determine where products reach consumers, with distribution strategies ranging from exclusive, 1 outlet per market, to mass distribution, as many outlets as possible. Promotion encompasses advertising and selling efforts, with reach, percentage of target market exposed, and frequency, number of exposures, multiplying to create gross rating points, GRPs. Pricing decisions dramatically impact the entire marketing mix and can differentiate products from competitors. 8 major pricing strategies include cost plus, adding a margin to cost, perceived value, charging based on value provided, skimming, high early prices, penetration, low prices to gain share, price, quality relationship, where price influences perceived quality, meet competition, profit goals based on market size, and price elasticity, adjusting based on customer sensitivity. The final step involves economic analysis to determine if the marketing plan is financially viable. This crucial step examines whether costs are too high, market price too low, or if unrealistic sales volumes are needed to break even. When marketing plans fail economic scrutiny, marketers must either tweak or discard them entirely. Ethics has transformed from a peripheral concern to a fundamental component of business education, catalyzed by the watershed corporate scandals of the 1980s, including the savings and loan crisis and insider trading cases. Modern business ethics education doesn't attempt to prescribe universal moral codes. Instead, it develops students' capacity to recognize ethical dimensions in complex business situations and make principled decisions. Through immersive case studies, role-playing exercises, and real-world scenarios, students grapple with multifaceted dilemmas spanning environmental sustainability, workforce reductions, data privacy, workplace discrimination, sexual harassment policies, and the challenges of operating across different cultural contexts and regulatory environments. 2 philosophical frameworks dominate contemporary business ethics discourse. The stakeholder approach, championed by R. Edward Freeman, argues that corporations have broad societal obligations beyond profit generation, including environmental stewardship, employee welfare, and community development. This view stands in sharp contrast to economist Milton Friedman's shareholder primacy theory, which contends that a business's sole social responsibility is increasing profits while operating within legal boundaries. While Friedman's perspective remains influential in economics departments, business ethics education has increasingly embraced stakeholder theory, reflecting growing recognition that long-term business success requires balancing multiple constituencies' interests. The concept of ethical relativism adds complexity by suggesting that moral standards vary across individuals' roles, societies, and cultures. Naive relativism posits that ethics are purely personal choices. What's right for me might not be right for you. Role relativism separates personal and professional ethics, potentially justifying different standards in business versus private life. Social relativism defers to industry norms and practices as ethical benchmarks. Cultural relativism advocates suspending judgment of other societies' moral standards, particularly relevant for multinational corporations navigating diverse cultural contexts. Stakeholder analysis provides executives with a systematic framework for ethical decision-making in complex situations. This structured approach begins with comprehensive stakeholder mapping, identifying all parties potentially affected by a decision, from employees and customers to local communities and the environment. Decision-makers must then evaluate both quantitative impacts, financial costs/benefits, and qualitative factors, reputational effects, precedent-setting implications, for each stakeholder group. The analysis examines power dynamics, considering both formal authority and informal influence. Short-term consequences are weighed against long-term implications, with particular attention to unintended effects and potential risks. Contingency planning addresses possible negative outcomes and mitigation strategies. While individuals may interpret situations differently based on their values and experiences, this systematic framework helps leaders make more thoughtful, balanced, and defensible ethical decisions. Modern ethical frameworks increasingly emphasize transparency, accountability, and sustainable value creation. Companies face mounting pressure to demonstrate ethical leadership beyond mere compliance, as stakeholders demand authentic commitment to social responsibility. This evolution reflects growing recognition that ethical business practices and long-term profitability are often mutually reinforcing rather than competing objectives. Accounting is the fundamental language that enables corporations to communicate results to various stakeholders, including employees, investors, creditors, customers, suppliers, and communities. It provides a means to control, evaluate, and plan operations through numbers. At its core, accounting involves counting the beans to record, summarize, and analyze business activity. 7 guiding concepts underlie all accounting rules and reporting. Entity, defining the reporting boundaries. Cash and accrual accounting, when transactions are recorded. Objectivity, requiring verifiable evidence. Conservatism, recording probable losses while postponing gains. Going concern, assuming continued operation. Consistency, using the same methods year after year. And materiality, focusing on significant information. The balance sheet presents a company's assets, resources owned, liabilities, obligations owed, and owners, equity, accumulated investment, at a specific point in time. The fundamental accounting equation that governs all transactions is assets equals liabilities plus owners' equity. The income statement shows transaction flow over a specific period, matching revenues with related expenses using the formula revenue expenses equals income. Unlike the balance sheet's point-in-time snapshot or the income statement's period performance, the statement of cash flows reveals a company's cash sources and uses. Many profitable companies fail due to cash shortages, making cash flow management critical for business survival. The statement organizes cash activities into 3 categories: operations, investing, and financing. Absolute numbers in financial statements have limited significance without context. Ratios provide that context by showing relationships between figures and enabling comparisons between companies and across time periods. 4 major categories of ratios help interpret financial statements: liquidity ratios, measuring ability to pay bills; capitalization ratios, examining debt burden; activity ratios, assessing asset deployment efficiency; and profitability ratios, evaluating profit relative to assets and sales. Managerial accounting uses standards, budgets, and variances to analyze operations. The goal is to project a company's activities for a period, then explain why actual results varied from projections. 2 fundamental variance types drive this analysis: price variances, impact of price changes, and volume variances, impact of quantity changes. Cost accounting determines production costs for goods and services, with activity-based costing, ABC, addressing overhead allocation challenges by basing it on actual resource usage rather than arbitrary metrics. Organizational behavior, OB, addresses the human challenges in the workplace, teaching MBAs how to apply their quantitative skills with appropriate human sensitivity. While many OB theories resemble popular self-help books, these touchy-feely classes reveal students' true attitudes about sexism, prejudice, and greed when confronting realistic business scenarios. Without people skills, MBAs have power tools but without the electric cord to use them. The OB problem-solving model provides a three-step approach: problem definition, analysis, and action planning. Problem definition starts by identifying want-got gaps, the differences between what managers believe should happen versus what's actually occurring. Analysis links problems to their causes by understanding why they exist and what environmental factors contribute. Action planning follows six critical steps: setting specific goals, defining activities and resources needed, establishing timetables, forecasting outcomes with contingencies, formulating detailed sequential plans, and implementing with supervision and evaluation. The APCFB model explains how external events connect to employee behavior. Assumptions affect perceptions, which shape conclusions, leading to feelings that ultimately drive behaviors. This psychological framework helps MBAs understand that people perceive events through personal filters and defense mechanisms. Motivation equals the product of three factors: expectation that work leads to performance, expectation that performance leads to rewards, and the value placed on those rewards. Organizations function as networks of interconnected elements, working together for operational efficiency. Six key elements define organizations: strategy, marketplace plans, policies and procedures, formal rules, organizational structures, hierarchy of authority, systems for allocating and monitoring resources, climate, emotional state of organization members, and culture, behaviors, beliefs, and artifacts. Organizations that can adapt to environmental changes are called learning organizations, while those stuck in old patterns are trapped by their paradigms. Larry Greiner's influential 1972 Harvard Business Review article described how organizations experience predictable growth stages, evolutions, and crisis periods, revolutions. Apple Computer exemplifies this pattern, beginning with Jobs and Wozniak's creative entrepreneurship in 1976. They hit a leadership crisis by 1983 when operations became unwieldy. John Sculley was brought in to provide direction, reorganizing Apple and delegating autonomy to Jobs' team to develop the Macintosh. After another growth period, Jobs left to start Next as Apple faced a control crisis in 1989-90. Quantitative analysis provides essential tools used across finance, accounting, marketing, and operations. These techniques help MBAs distinguish themselves by creating sophisticated analyses and using impressive language. While mathematically precise, these tools complement rather than replace good judgment. Successful business leaders combine analytical rigor with experience and intuition. The toolkit includes statistical analysis, financial modeling, optimization techniques, and decision frameworks that transform raw data into actionable insights. Decision theory breaks complex problems into manageable parts using frameworks like decision tree diagrams. These trees organize alternatives, risks, and uncertainty through five comprehensive steps: determining all possible alternatives and risks, calculating monetary consequences, determining uncertainty probabilities, combining these into a visual diagram, and determining the best alternative while considering non-monetary aspects. For example, when evaluating a new product launch, a decision tree might map out scenarios for different market conditions, competitor responses, and pricing strategies, each with associated probabilities and financial outcomes. Cash flow analysis forms the foundation of financial evaluation, answering the fundamental question: what does an investment cost, and how much cash will it generate? The process involves defining the initial investment value, calculating benefit magnitude across multiple time periods, determining precise timing of cash flows, quantifying uncertainty through sensitivity analysis, and assessing whether benefits justify the wait. Net present value, NPV analysis, solves the problem of evaluating investments in today's dollars by discounting future cash flows to present value. This technique accounts for the time value of money, incorporating factors like inflation, risk, and opportunity cost through carefully selected discount rates. Probability theory helps solve business problems by analyzing the likelihood of different outcomes. The normal distribution, bell curve, is statistics' most widely used distribution, appearing in phenomena from customer behavior to manufacturing quality control. When probability mass functions are based on many trials, they tend to form this bell shape due to the central limit theorem, a fundamental principle that explains why many real-world distributions approximate normal curves. The curve is described by two key terms, the mean, or center point, and standard deviation, which measures variability from the mean. Understanding these parameters helps managers make informed decisions about inventory levels, pricing strategies, and risk management. Linear regression models determine relationships between variables that analysts intuitively believe are connected, enabling future forecasting. These models analyze how independent variables, X, like temperature, marketing spend, or economic indicators, affect dependent variables, Y, like ice cream sales, customer acquisition, or revenue growth. The quality of this relationship is measured by R-square, percentage of variation explained, and T-statistics, measuring statistical significance. Sophisticated applications might include multiple regression analysis incorporating several variables, interaction effects, and dummy variables to capture categorical information. Managers use these models to optimize pricing, predict demand, and allocate resources effectively. Advanced quantitative techniques also include optimization methods like linear programming for resource allocation, Monte Carlo simulation for risk analysis, and time series analysis for forecasting seasonal patterns. These tools, when properly applied, provide a robust foundation for evidence-based decision-making while acknowledging their limitations and the importance of qualitative factors. Finance remains a lucrative field for MBAs, despite losing some of its 1980s glamour after the 1987 market crash. From a finance perspective, businesses exist solely to maximize owner wealth. In the United States, businesses organize into three primary legal structures based on complexity, liability preferences, and tax considerations: proprietorships, individual ownership with unlimited liability, partnerships, multiple owners with varying liability, and corporations, separate legal entities with limited liability. Investment decisions balance potential income against risk, with returns generally proportional to risk. Risk divides into systematic risk, affecting entire asset classes, and unsystematic risk, specific to particular investments. Beta measures an investment's risk by comparing its price movements to the overall market. A beta of 1 means the stock moves in tandem with the market, while higher betas indicate greater volatility. The efficient market hypothesis, EMH, proposes that markets reflect available information, making it difficult to beat the market. The weak form suggests past price movements don't predict future ones, but fundamental analysis might yield insights. The semi-strong form claims all public information is reflected in prices, making fundamental analysis futile. Most investments are valued using discounted cash flows and net present value. Bonds derive value from the present value of future cash flows, with values fluctuating inversely with interest rates. Unlike bonds, stocks offer no contractual payment guarantees or maturity dates. Analysts use multiple valuation methods, including the dividend growth model, price-earnings ratios, multiples of book value or sales per share, asset value per share, and cash flow multiples. Financial management focuses on how companies fund themselves and maximize returns. Corporate finance aims to raise capital at the least cost for acceptable risk levels. Companies have 5 basic financing options: supplier credit, lease financing, bank loans, bond issuance, and stock issues. Interest payments on debt are tax deductible, creating an after-tax cost of borrowing calculated as borrowing rate X, 1 tax rate. The optimal mix of debt and equity capital structure requires balancing risk and reward. While no magic formula exists, managers use the FRICTO framework: flexibility, risk tolerance, income to support payments, control considerations, timing of market conditions, and other factors. Dividend policy determines how much profit a company pays out to shareholders, with investors strongly preferring stable, growing dividends. Operations is the only MBA subject focused on actually making products and providing services, the fundamental purpose of business. Operations combines both quantitative technical approaches and humanistic perspectives that consider worker viewpoints, creating a holistic framework for managing production and service delivery. This discipline bridges the gap between strategic planning and tangible outcomes, transforming raw materials and resources into finished goods and services that create value for customers. The field of operations management has evolved through several key historical figures and approaches. Frederick Taylor pioneered job fractionalization and time motion studies to find the one right way of performing tasks, introducing scientific management principles that revolutionized industrial efficiency. His detailed studies of worker movements and task completion times established the foundation for modern productivity analysis. Elton Mayo discovered the Hawthorne effect when workers improved performance, simply because they were being studied, establishing the human relations movement. This breakthrough revealed that psychological and social factors significantly impact worker productivity, leading to a more nuanced understanding of workplace dynamics. Modern operations embraces the contingency approach, combining scientific and human relations methods as appropriate for each situation, recognizing that different contexts require different solutions. The core MBA operations framework addresses five key issues: capacity, production limits, scheduling, production planning, inventory, stock management and reduction, standards, efficiency and quality benchmarks, and control process monitoring. MBAs analyze production capacity using 6 M's: methods, procedures and processes, materials, inputs and raw materials, manpower, human resources and skills, machinery, equipment and technology, money, financial resources, and messages, information flow and communication systems. Each element must be optimized and balanced to achieve operational excellence. Scheduling is critical for production efficiency and requires sophisticated tools and techniques. Henry Gantt developed the Gantt chart, a visual grid showing tasks and their time sequence to identify bottlenecks and dependencies. This revolutionary tool remains fundamental to project management today. The critical path method, CPM, arranges tasks sequentially with time estimates, highlighting critical activities that could delay projects and allowing managers to focus resources where they're most needed. Inventory management requires balancing competing interests with 5 legitimate justifications: pipeline, goods in transit, cycle, regular replenishment, safety, buffer against uncertainty, anticipatory, seasonal preparation, and speculative, price protection. Just-in-time JIT inventory, popularized by Japanese manufacturers using Kanban cards, aims to minimize inventory holding costs while maintaining production efficiency. Quality management has evolved from simple inspection to comprehensive systems thinking. Quality simply means a product or service meets the standards set by manufacturers or consumers, not necessarily flawless or expensive, but performing as expected. 3 influential quality gurus have shaped modern manufacturing. Joseph Juran promotes fitness for use with 5 dimensions, including design quality and conformance to standards, emphasizing the importance of both product features and reliability. W. Edwards Deming developed total quality management, TQM, and statistical process control, SPC, introducing the concept of continuous improvement and statistical quality monitoring. His famous 14 points revolutionized quality management practices worldwide. Philip Crosby claims quality is free, arguing that investments in quality improvement ultimately reduce costs by eliminating defects, rework, and warranty claims. His zero defects philosophy emphasizes prevention over inspection and has influenced modern quality systems. Strategy is the most exciting MBA course as it integrates all business disciplines, placing students in the chairman's perspective. Strategic thinking requires comprehensive analysis of a business relative to its industry, competitors, and environment in both short and long-term contexts. Without clear strategic direction, companies become market victims rather than shapers. Thomas Peters, Robert Waterman, and Julianne Phillips created the 7S model to show how strategy must be integrated within an organization's fabric. The 7 interconnected elements are structure, organizational design; strategy, planned actions; style, corporate culture; staff, human resources; skills, distinctive abilities; systems, operational procedures; and superordinate goals/shared values. The value chain concept helps answer the fundamental strategic question, what business is a company in? It examines how a company adds value to products as they move from raw materials to consumers. Integration describes how companies position themselves along the value chain. Forward integration moves toward consumers, while backward integration moves toward raw materials. Michael Porter's 5 forces theory helps analyze competitive environments and develop survival strategies. The model examines threats of substitutes and new entrants, bargaining power of suppliers and buyers, and rivalry among competitors, Porter identifies three major generic strategies: cost leadership, achieving lowest production costs; differentiation, making products appear unique; and focus, concentrating on specific market segments. Signaling is a strategic tool where companies communicate intentions to competitors without illegal direct contact. Six legal signaling methods include price movements, prior announcements, media discussions, counterattacks on competitors, home markets, announcing results, and litigation. Portfolio strategy represents the elite domain of corporate-level strategic planning, with models like the Boston Consulting Group's growth/share matrix categorizing businesses as stars, cash cows, dogs, and question marks. Synergy occurs when combining businesses creates performance greater than the sum of individual parts. Four types of business linkages create synergy: market linkages, technological linkages, product linkages, and intangible linkages. However, even with strong linkages, success isn't guaranteed, as demonstrated by Quaker Oats' disastrous $1.7 billion Snapple acquisition, which they later sold for just $300 million despite apparent synergies. Strategy without implementation is worthless. Executives must identify which factors are within their control, action levers, overcome resistance to change, set tangible goals, and develop contingency plans. Strategy must be continuously reviewed to reflect changes in the business environment. The source of competitive advantage is pursuing an evolving strategy that competitors cannot easily duplicate,